Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the Alexander Tiedemann, my Mr. Burns. It's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mr. Burns. How's it going over there?
Excellent. No. Yeah, it's going pretty well. I am excited that we're actually recording. My God, the sun is still out here.
It's true.
We're usually recording in the dead of night, but no. To accommodate other podcasts on our, I don't want to call it a network, but whatever we call it, we are actually finding time to record the sixth, great word for someone with a lisp, man.
Yeah.
That's one of those that even in speech therapy in college, just couldn't manage it.
You know, yeah, or myths, the plural of the word myth, unsayable, unspeakable.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you think I really love seeing, you know, Revenge of the What? I'm not saying it. Leave me alone.
So the names that you chose for us this week, are you predicting that the series is going to end with, like, the nuclear explosion will be stopped because Homer gains a whole bunch of weight and then, like, gets his butt stuck in the cooling tower or whatever?
It might happen to me, but I don't think it's going to happen to Homer.
Well, if you do, I'll get you, like, a nice, like, blue flower dress. So just let me know if you start to get chunky.
Oh, man. telling you. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
One of those like water drinking birds to do your job for you.
Oh well, I've made that joke about my job before. I probably should expound upon that just in case, on the off chance someone should listen. It's like, what's he doing? But yeah. Anyway, wow, we are here to talk about Light and Shadow, which is the number six episode in this final eight-episode season of Dark. We've been looking forward to talking about this one for at least a day or two.
Yeah.
So without any further ado, let's just get to it.
Yes.
We kick off the episode with older Jonas. He's waking up from a dream, you know, basically of Wyndon going boom, you know, moments after Martha dies, and he appears to bolt out of the house. Now, at this moment in the episode, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because how would you escape an apocalyptic destruction?
You know, yeah.
Because we saw Jonas actually did escape death at that moment by escaping with Traveler Martha. But we are going to get an explanation as to why that's not what older Jonas has experienced. We're going to get to that probably in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to say, of this podcast. But at this point in the episode, I remember thinking, I guess this is just a pure dream, because if he just runs outside, you're dead.
So, yeah, you can't get to the caves or the bunker in that period of time. So nope.
Yeah, it's pretty clear you can't outrun the big cloud that's just sweeping through Wyndon. So, but at that moment, it's a dream. Don't give it any more thought. Move on to the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it still kind of felt like, you know, like it was a sign about the fact that he doesn't remember the, like, time traveler Martha plucking him out of there. The fact that he doesn't experience that, it definitely seemed like, oh, like, well, maybe they're going to address that soon.
I agree with that. Well, obviously they do address it.
Yes.
I mean, I had my own theories about that, because we've talked about this, not specifically on this podcast, just in general conversation about other time traveling things where, you know, some shows or movies or TV show or books, whatever, have the conceit that the moment something happens to change, then it affects everything immediately, and thus someone will have that memory of something that has happened, so to speak. There's other ways where they say, oh, it creates a separate timeline, and, you know, that experience hasn't caught up with that person, because it's still technically that person's future, although it's also their past. And then you get the whole time paradox thing, and then you have someone saying, "This is why I don't like time travel." It's why I love it, because I always can find my way out of the conversation. It's like, that's not the theory I'm employing for my version of time travel. So go away. Okay, so we find out what was written in that letter finally. And we even hear it as we watch the formerly naive Martha sob a little bit more over Jonas's corpse before leaving. And she doesn't apparently join all the other Marthas in what I would imagine is like a dark matter watch party going down in the other room. We also then dip back to what I'm just going to refer to, excuse my DC Comics roots, as Earth One. It's just easier for me to say it that way. In the 2050s, we see a different Traveler Martha, pre-Scar-faced. And by the way, watching this episode, I felt like an idiot not acknowledging the scar in the previous podcast, which you pointed out. And I was like, did she have another scar? Yeah. Now you're watching this one, it's like, oh my God, it's so, how did I not see it? It's,
yeah.
It's like not knowing she has dark hair or something.
Well, there was a lot going on, so
yeah,
can't be expected to get everything, especially when we're recording right after we watch it usually.
This is true. But you see that pre-Scar-faced version. She's been locked in a cage by that someone who we thought was a mystery girl up until this episode, but we do later learn her name is Shia, S-H-I-J-A. Shia? I'm going to say Shia.
Yeah. I think it's like Celia, something like that. Yeah.
We obviously have to keep. We're all watching captions of one form or another, regardless of what version we're watching. So, and obviously she's following Adam's orders. I will also point out something I did not put in my notes. It actually didn't occur. It literally didn't occur to me until I was finding the picture that I'm going to use for this podcast. And that's when I noticed it. Did you notice the room where Martha's being kept in that big, cage? There's a whole lot of cages with shackles and manacles all around them.
Yeah, that's where Jonas was held. And like when he got there, when he like went to the Forbidden Zone or something, that's where they locked him up.
Oh, look at you with the memory. Okay, then I won't give it any more thought then. Thanks.
Yeah.
Not the big deal I was about to make of it.
Yeah.
Now I know why I didn't put a note down about it.
I'm assuming she, based on her location and the, the floor thing where Jonas gets killed, that must be Bartosz's daughter, I guess, since that's her last name, Tiedemann.
That could be it. We do get a little bit about important stuff about Bartosz later in this episode too, which was kind of exciting. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're starting to rub off on me. I'm starting to get excited for things. Maybe because he's actually been a decent character this season, kind of redeeming what a piece of shit I thought he was in the previous two seasons. but back to that mystery letter that we've waited more than half a season to learn about. It's basically encouraging Jonas not to lose hope that he will save her and find some way out of this maze. Oh, she uses maze. It's the Ariadne thing again. That they're all trapped in. But it also seems to acknowledge that sacrifices will be made. Yeah. We know that. We've known that from the very beginning of this goddamn series. Every bit is about making sacrifices. The apocalypse has to happen, and he has to let her die so that she may live. And I'm guessing it's that last part which seemed to leave older Jonas so shaken when he got the hell out of Dodge at the end of season two.
Plus Jonas either has to kill Hannah or Hannah has to kill him because, people have to kill their parents or get killed by their parents on the show. So at some point that needs to happen.
Oh, yeah. I believe I'm definitely gearing up for that later. I noticed that. I was like, oh, again? I'm getting my notes here. So when I first took as I'm watching note, we speculated we would see the letter being written at the end of this episode, and I was guessing at which Martha would write it. I think I might have said it was going to be Eve or Eva before, but I have since realized that it kind of has to be the original Martha actress. So it's either the pre or post Scarface Martha from the alternate universe would be the author.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We later see the Marthas, all except pre-Scar-faced or formerly naive Martha, and there is a letter being written. I'm only saying it's a letter and not the letter for one reason. This is the letter that we're going to see later in the episode that the older Martha leaves for older Jonah in 1888 in his room, pretty much probably the same day he's already burned the letter. Now, I'm kind of still, I'm like 90 whatever percent sure it's still the same goddamn letter, and it's just going to drive older Jonas just a little bit crazy seeing it rise from the ashes again, because I feel like we've played this game on this series before where we get rid of the letter. Oh, look, it comes back again. We get rid of it. No,
well,
it comes back again.
That would be funny, too, because young Jonas was freaked out by, like, burning the letter and then getting the letter back the next day. So it'd be super funny if middle-aged Jonas, who gave Jonas the other letter that got burned, it'd be really funny if that happened to him, too.
Again, it's the first episode of the season was titled Deja Vu, and that can be the subtext for the entire season, it looks like, I think.
Yeah.
So, where was I, Arthur? Pretty much any time I pause to think and then we can resume talking about this, it's probably going to be about something relating to Martha. She probably inhabits at least 75 to 80% of the scenes in this episode in one version or another. Not a bad thing. We've said countless times this season, she has kind of shifted to being more of a focal point than she ever was before. More of a character than a plot point, as I felt she was before this season.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny, I'll read or summarize kind of a note I took, and as I'm reading it, I realize I've already changed my mind about what I've written, but whatever, I'll just keep it. Because we see that the traveler, Martha, the one with the big scar on her face, whereas the one who's in a cage does not have a scar on her face. So originally, I'm thinking, oh, look at that. That indicates that she gets set free, and then she gets scarred, and maybe killing Jonas wasn't so hard on her after all, considering she gets manhandled by the older one and gets put in a cage by, the ancient prune-faced one. But then we see what ends up happening to her, which we'll get to, And I'm like going, that's maybe not. But thankfully, once again, there's a big explanation for all these things, which we'll get to shortly. by the way, it's an explanation we've seen him use a million times over, so it's... I don't mind it, but I'm not about to give Dark special brownie points for doing it. It's like, oh yeah, that's there's nothing new there, guys. That's fine. I also want to give non-scarred Martha, who is unlike me, was actually upset at Jonas's death. Give her credit; she actually does wash her hands. Although I was thinking, what, is she like Lady Macbeth by proxy? It's not her guilt, but it's the guilt of another Martha or Martha's that she's trying to scrub away off her hands. The other thing, because we've talked about the fact that, Martha is kind of like the Jonas on her world and her storyline is kind of following that similar track.
Right.
You kind of realize that she's going to need a way to convince people she's not nuts. Because, when she has a little conversation or attempts at that conversation with Magnus and he just thinks she's, she's just freaking out or whatever. Although that Magnus is kind of a dick in this universe. But at least when other people have had to convince others of this obviously insane story, they always have a little something to back it up, something that's impossible to have known. Or some, or a scar that they couldn't possibly have gotten in any other way. Or some crazy piece of tech, something. A piece of proof. Yeah. Not just some babbling that she's doing, which, who would believe that? So, I'm trying to think where to go with this. I also want to give you a chance to pipe in here. Where are we going here? There's some stuff I didn't really care that much about talking about, but I will say.
A lot of these scenes are just kind of like characters like talking to each other, but like not all of it's like super relevant. It's just kind of like
things. Yeah,
this character is like giving each other farewells or whatever. I suppose
it's little character moments or little bits of housekeeping to kind of keep a character on track so that they will act or look the way we know they will a year from now or whatever, like Martha cutting her hair, for example, something like that.
Yeah, nothing too notable. I mean, none of it sucked, but
The one thing I would say is the little moment she has with her mom, Katerina, I actually found that more emotionally moving than, say, when she was cradling the dead Jonas in the previous episode. Maybe I've been more impressed with the actress playing Katerina this season than I have before.
Yeah.
Maybe because she's playing in multiple versions, it's helping as well, I guess.
Yeah, the alternate universe Katerina is definitely a better parent than the other one.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, not...
not. Although, Although the quality of parentage in Winden is,
Yeah, the bar is very, very low.
yes, it's a very low bar. The kids are, as far as the kids in Winden are concerned, as long as they don't get killed by their parents, they should be happy.
Yeah, or if their parents don't like have sex with their like cousins or something, it's yeah.
Ooh,
If there's no
that
incest or murder, you're a good parent.
yeah, pretty
Kind
much.
of.
So, again, like I said, sticking with the Marthas, we also see like older Martha is try it provides really little consolation to traveler Martha, which brings up a question I had. Have we ever specific, and again, if it was written on screen and I missed it somehow, and I don't think I did, but I might have, it's very possible I did. Have we determined the when slash, or should I say the where, yeah, it is when, not where, when, of the sand-ridden version of Winden? Is that the alternate universe's version of 2053?
Yeah, so like in 2000, I think it's 2052 because it's like the apocalypse is in 2019. So it's like that's 2052, and then like the normal universe is like a wet, darker gray version, and that's 2053, even though we saw that in 2052. But yeah, that's all. So like the one world's apocalypse created like, too much rain and flooding and stuff, and this one's just like a dry, super appealing desert location, I guess.
I just find it bizarre because we've seen no part of Winden that has any sort of sand or beach like area whatsoever. So I'm trying to kind of wondering where all this sand came from. Like
Well,
the
just from like the when desertification happens, like as part of like the changing climate, I mean, it can happen basically anywhere. Just the plants have to go, and then like erosion happens,
but would
and
it
like
turn
stuff
to
just.
sand that quickly? That's
And well, and
something that happens
I guess
over
it's.
eons, not,
Well, it's
a
been
decade or two.
33 years. So what the nuclear like disaster that happened in the main universe created all sorts of crazy weather stuff, weird flooding and tidal shifts and stuff like that. So because like a black hole opened on Earth and changed, a variety of stuff, I could see that kind of desertification being escalated at an advanced rate.
I would unless a giant hourglass shattered above, post-apocalypse, Winden to put out the nuclear fires. I just
Well, Germany.
I find it questionable that it would that it would
Well,
that the reversion would happen that quickly. That just seems a bit much. And I kept thinking, there's a reason I've never seen that in any other post-apocalyptic thing. Like, everything turned to sand just 20 or 30 years later. No, it's 200 or 300 years later, I'd buy, But whatever, it's fine. I don't mind it. And obviously, they're making a distinction. I just was confused by the when of it, because it then leads me to start wondering about Eve or Eva. Because her lair, the one with the one with the paintings and the names on the floor, which is what we see, and you can tell me whether it's 2019 or 2020. I seem to now be getting confused between those 2 years, but generally what we're told, generally what I'm talking about.
It's 2019 in the alternate universe, and
Okay,
that's when the apocalypse happens.
so my get with Eve or Eva, the question is, first of all, how old she is. I'm assuming they're still going by, obviously the 33-year cycle thing.
Yeah,
So,
so Eva should be 66 years older than, I guess, 18, 17 or
well,
18,
yeah,
so she'd be.
I'm going with older Martha is basically a really rough-looking 50. I buy it. She's 50, but she hasn't held up quite as well as some people in their 50s. And then, therefore, we jump ahead another cycle for Eve. That puts her like in the 83-year-old range. I buy that too. That's fine. It works. The thing I'm wondering about, if she lived to be 83, does that was she always tr time traveling or something, or did she actually get to exist in 2086, or whatever year it would be, 85, 86, whatever? And
Yeah, I guess we haven't.
if so,
Yeah, I guess we
will we
haven't
ever go
seen
there? I'm kind of curious if we'll jump that far ahead.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, it doesn't. She must have just time traveled to some time period and then just aged there, because she can't. Because the reason that Adam looks like complete shit is because he time traveled like so many different times, so he's just been all irradiated. But she isn't as like fucked up looking as Adam, so
Right.
he. So I guess she hasn't done as much time travel.
Yeah. Right. She's probably stayed put a bit more than he has. Okay, I'll go along with that. All right, so anyway, back to the episode, they initially had me thinking that Adam or Jonas, I do like that she calls him Jonas as opposed to Adam when she's in the cage. It's probably the only character who does that from what I've seen. They initially had me thinking, you know, oh, if he believes if he keeps her in a cage, then nothing can stop the Otherworld's apocalypse. And I was thinking, maybe he doesn't have the heart to kill her again. And of course we see, no, he's much worse. The only reason I'm bringing this up, I just like showcasing my own naivete when it comes to watching this show. You'd think after watching like 21 episodes before this one, I would know by now. But,
yeah, you would expect like maybe one of these characters would be like, oh, well, I guess I'll change my mind and like do like the TV trope thing where like the bad guy decides to not be like as bad. But like, no, they just keep going through and pushing them buttons and pulling that trigger.
Oh, yeah. and especially with this scene. And, you know, if there was any question at all as to whether or not Adam or Jonas, whatever, but Adam is, quote unquote, the villain, this scene pretty much cements it. We only got a few episodes left to go, but now we shouldn't be questioning it anymore. This shouldn't be like, wait, are they the bad guy or are they the good guy? Is this like Legion or something? No, when he says the thing about striving for this paradise where nothing exists, yeah, and so that way, let's destroy both universes. Yeah,
that's the supervillain shit.
You're the bad guy. Thanos at least left some people alive. You know, you're
even though he decided not to, but he wasn't able to do that. He almost got to Adam level.
Of course, the funny thing is the confirmation once again Adam slash Jonas is indeed the villain. But then again, Eve having like the unknown trio roaming around time and space, killing innocent people right and left, doesn't exactly scream they're the good guys either. So it's kind of like there's the bad guys and the worst guys kind of thing going on here. Germans. Anyway, no, I kid. I have German ancestry. It's fine. The ones that weren't killed in World War II. Death camps. All right, so speaking of Eve, let's stick with that thread because instead of bouncing around anymore, because let's finally get to that explanation I hinted at earlier. We get a bigger answer to a question that was probably hurting people's heads, including mine, since the beginning of either this episode or this podcast or both. The whole thing about if older Martha killed Jonas, then why is he still alive in his world? Also, then why is there an older Jonas, not to mention the ancient pruny-faced Jonas, or Adam, and so on and so forth? And this is when we get some good old-fashioned time travel, gobbledygook, you know, what's the Doctor Who phrase, the weebly-wobbly, timey-wimey, whatever the fuck it's called. It's one of those very time travel theory explanations, which they kind of make a bit more florid than it needs to be. Eve explains something along the lines of, she explains that there's a switch point in the loop of time. And of course, as she's drawing a loop on the table in front of the Martha's, you know, she draws the infinity symbol. Because you know what? That's her go-to symbol for everything. It's probably embroidered on her clothes or sheets or toiletries, whatever. Anyway, the switch point she refers to. From what I could discern what she's saying, you know, it creates like a fork, creating like two roads, two paths, and thus two realities. Yeah. Basically, if you scrape away all that, they're basically talking about the thing that we've seen any number of times. It's a tried and true time travel trope. Ooh, look at that alliteration. That we've seen in sci-fi and comic books and God knows what. Basically, when a divergent event occurs, it creates two timelines, which would therefore be the two realities. I mean, I don't want to go off on that track, especially because of your dislike and distaste for all of them, and mine for one of them especially. But heck, it's the entire basis of all the new Star Trek movies. It's based on that occurrence, not to mention any number of other things that we've seen over the years. The funny thing is, and like I just mentioned, coincidentally or not, it's also a very common way, a theory used to explain or describe how alternate or parallel universes occur. Or as every comic book fan who is listening is thinking, how it explains something like the multiverse. It's how, you know, all these different possibilities create different timelines and different realities. And, you know, and it's, you know, it's a theory that goes back to Einstein and so on. And if he, and if it wasn't Einstein, we'll just pretend it was because it sounds cool to say Einstein. So I appreciated them saying it specifically because it felt like, oh, we're being given an actual rule of how things go as far as time travel here. And it's explaining a major aspect of this show. And even though it's something I think we both probably assumed or speculated, it kind of was nice to hear it kind of said, even if it was said in kind of a goofy way. But, you know, it's as good as Dr. Harrison Wells drawing it on a whiteboard on the Flash or something. It still worked. So I understood it. I kind of appreciated it. So anyway, I just assumed you'd like to make some quantum leap joke or something. I don't know. So, all right, you know what? I'll get to something which I know was probably one of your favorite things about the episode, so we can step away from the many Marthas for a moment. We do see Dan's favorite character, Alexander, actually tells his son...
My other favorite character.
Your other favorite character, Martha. I mean, you just love that family. You love it.
I'm all about them Cheetahmans. Even Egon, I grew to like him last season.
Got something to say about him later.
Yeah.
He actually tells his son the truth about his past. And we mean everything. He tells him about, he makes a reference to the, he's being blackmailed. He tells him about the murder. He tells him his real name. So guess what? There's no more reason to watch Dark anymore. Her most burning question has been answered. Now that we know the real story behind Alexander, or should I say, Boris Nywald? I was waiting the whole podcast to do that. I'm sorry. Should have seen me on, YouTube. Where's that dramatic chipmunk thing?
Yes, if alternate Inspector Clausen is listening to this podcast, I'm sure he's very satisfied that we know all the secrets now.
Exactly. I'm glad this all came out after that character was killed off. Even though that's alternate, that's Earth 1 version, we haven't seen alternate universe version. Although, for all we know, maybe it got reversed and he was the one who got killed in the 80s by Alexander.
Back in season one, the first time we saw Alexander, I think like one of his two passports had the name Boris Nywald on it. So this just confirms that's his actual name. The other one was the Alexander Kohler one that he was using once he started hanging around Winden.
Look at you with the callback. See, this is why you're here. Helps. I have no memory about this shit. Anyway, you know what? I think we've clearly gone way too long in the podcast without talking about Martha. It's been like a minute and a half. So anyway, the formerly naive Martha, she actually comes by to see your favorite little dude, Bartos. And we see her beginning what must be an hour or two long explanation about the dark matter and how it brings about the apocalypse and how they need to tell his dad not to open those damn cans or something.
This scene really works well too, because there's a scene earlier in the season where like Bartos is giving a speech in school about like, you know, wormholes and quantum theory and stuff like that. So like he's already been established as like this version of Bartos is receptive to this kind of stuff.
Yes.
More so. So
yeah, I noticed.
So it's really nice that they planted that seed earlier.
Right. That's absolutely right. As opposed to say like someone like Magnus who would just be looking at her. Staring blankly and like, could you stop talking so I can go bang my deaf girlfriend again? So, I mean, we do cut away to some other stuff that we're going to highlight a little bit later before we zip back to Martha and Bartos. And she, at this point, she's up to recent events like the murder of Jonas by her not much into the future self. But again, as she lays it out there, it all starts with his dad, because just as you had hoped, Alexander is the key to everything. I'm not going to play the music again, but I was talking. Dun, dun, dun. I was thinking about it. I actually have a recording of it playing like 5 times in a row, but I had a feeling everyone would get annoyed because the sound quality would be bad. Anyway, you know, what, upon that realization, and I'm kind of being a little tongue-in-cheek there up to a point, although it is, he does play a major part, actually.
Yeah.
Bartosz does try to call his dad, but sadly he ignores his son's call. You know, and I'm sure Bartosz is used to being ignored at this point. And instead,
yeah,
he contacts...
Alexander definitely had this just, like, you know, starting to be a little suicidal, just, I'm so fucking done with everything vibe there. So he's just like, okay, whatever. Son doesn't like me. Wife's dead. Fuck this. I'm not going to deal with it.
Oh, he shouldn't do that. He's got such a good little beard going. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Good beard.
It is a good
well
beard.
Well-trimmed.
I'm very impressed by it. Instead, he decides to contact Charlotte to come to the plant because he wants to show her something. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be those damn cans. Apparently, these cans, the moment you open one, the exposure to air, the elements get all a frothing and a bubbling. And voila, big, giant, dark matter bubble that doesn't cause time travel so much as total annihilation. But, you know. But before Charlotte can show up and once again, you know, be present for the end of the world in this universe, except maybe she won't escape this time, we need to backtrack a little bit with her. Earlier that day, she went to see Ulrich at his home, you know, because of that whole mystery penny situation. And apparently it must be a time traveling penny because there's no other reasonable explanation. It's like that Sherlock Holmes mantra, whenever you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. I gotta say, at this point in the series, and only a couple episodes to go especially, does anyone really care how Hannah clearly knows Charlotte is Ulrich's mistress and how she basically does the whole he's mine thing, you know, even when she's playing with the gun a few minutes earlier? Because I don't give a damn, and I'm saying damn when I actually mean, you know, a certain other word. Charlotte clearly doesn't give a fuck anymore either. I let her say it instead.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to, like, you know, show parallels and contrast with the what happened in the original reality, but it isn't something that I guess is super necessary at this point anyway, because, I mean, you know, I guess we'll see what happens.
A lot of it's just, it's kind of like a get on with it kind of vibe to me. It's like, yeah, let's just get on with it. Because, I mean, the fact, it's also clear that Charlotte doesn't give a fuck because she don't got time for this anymore. She doesn't even mention to Ulrich any of what just happened, you know.
Yeah, she wants to deal with this, you know, Ein Pfennig, so yeah. Fuck off, Hannah.
So, like, you know, your wife clearly knows and kind of even sort of implied a threat, you know, and as I wrote in capital letters, I see in my notes, it's not important. Also, Ulrich needs to calm down a little bit initially, too, because it's not like Charlotte's the local baker or runs the local motel or something. She's like a colleague slash partner to him. So there's nothing that unusual about her showing up at his house, you know. But what's more important?
It's amazing how much more effective this universe's Winden PD is, like, at just getting the job done.
Yes,
and like in the original reality, they're just like, they don't communicate with each other. They won't let Woller do, like, anything. And in this one, they're just like, hey, Woller, why don't you go take care of him? And they're not, like, assholes to Woller. And that's probably why stuff's getting done, because, you know, he's the best of all.
I think of the Winden Police Department being, like, the German version of the police department in Dexter. Except all serial killers. Anyway, speaking of dead people... Ulrich at the morgue. Now, question, since you seem to be good at filling in the blanks for me with all this, they seem to imply that this is the first time Ulrich has seen the body. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's seen the body somewhat, but he hasn't, like, taken the time to, like, look and see if it's Mads by, like, looking at his chin yet, because he didn't have any, you know, information. In the other reality, it took him a while longer to get to this point, but a similar thing happened on that thing.
I'm just wondering, because as I jokingly mentioned before, to me, there's something about it that doesn't make sense. It's not a big thing. It's not a mistake or anything. It's just one of those, I question it. Because if he had seen the body already, and by the body I'm talking about the kid's face, and now we see how much the kid's face is there, and yes, he's got the burn strip mark across where his eyes are, but, you know, 3/4 of his face is still pretty visible. I'm kind of thinking he would recognize his own brother. I don't care if it's 33 years later. I'll let it go because it's like a super, it's almost like a superhero trope how people don't recognize people wearing masks that cover just their eyes. It's fine. I'll go along with that. But here's the problem I have. he clearly had this in his mind and was wondering, thinking it when he heads to the morgue. That was clear. I felt that was obviously his motivation, why he goes there and why he's checking it. Why wouldn't he bring a photograph with him? Wouldn't,
yeah, I don't
wouldn't
know.
that have made sense to bring a photo with? I'm pretty sure he has a photo of his long missing brother. He could have even
Yeah,
sent it to the morgue person, who wouldn't be looking at him like he's a fucking Looney Tunes. Like, do you think they look the same?
Yeah, in the original reality, I think he brought a picture with when he did that. But this Ulrich seems to be a little bit faster on the uptake.
Because
there's a couple episodes left, so he's got to be faster in the uptake. But he's able to connect the dots between like what Helgi is ranting about and Miss Penny
right.
much faster than the original Ulrich.
I'm assuming.
Of course, to be fair, the original Ulrich was distracted by Mikkel being abducted. This Ulrich is able to have a clearer mind because he's not going through that. So I guess maybe like Ulrich is a better cop when his son didn't just fucking get abducted. Maybe.
See, I'm also thinking that maybe in both universes, it becomes harder and harder to come by photographs of people, because apparently there's a couple Looney Tunes that are swiping photos right and left and creating little fucking things of them in bunkers and places. It's like, do you still have that picture? No, I don't know where that picture went. Where'd it go? It's like, oh, it's hanging in a bunker somewhere.
Yeah, so I can see your point, but you just got to keep in mind that in Winden, like, it's basically a whole bunch of inbreeding, so not only do they all kind of look similar, they're all kind of, like, a little bit daft because of the inbreeding, so maybe that's why Ulrich doesn't recognize him. I don't know.
I was kind of hoping that in the alternate universe, that if the name of the town that we've been following on Earth 1 is Winden, then in the alternate universe it would be Re-Winden. But anyway, that's horrible. I hate myself for that joke. So anyway, this whole Ulrich business leads to him, as you were getting to, he actually sets Helgi free. And for like 10 seconds, I was like, why would you? Then I'm like, oh, went from oh, why to oh, sly. As Ulrich follows Helgi around, which eventually leads to him going to the caverns. And then later, towards the end of the episode, we do see Ulrich deep in those caves and going through that portal again. Do you think he's going to get zapped back to the 1950s in the alternate universe as well, or do you think maybe they will also do something different?
Well, yeah, I think they need to, because like in this universe, he needs to smash Helgi in the eye instead of in the ear. So I'm not sure if we're going to see that, but that seems to be based on his reaction,
right.
The way this show operates, that he is destined to go back to 1953 and
right.
do that to creepy little Helgi.
Although it would have been kind of nice if it had been someone else to do it.
Well, there still could be, too.
54, wouldn't it be?
Maybe.
21, 54, 87, I think.
Yeah, well, let's see. But this time it's in, they're in 2019.
Oh, maybe everything's off by a year there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're right.
All right. Before we get to the crazy final act of this episode, we can just quickly scoot over to Earth 1, where we find Claudia making her way to the destroyed power plant, which is where she encounters Jonas. You know, talk about Penny being, you know, time traveler. He's like a bad Penny. He keeps showing up all the time, kind of like Martha. Initially I thought, oh, they're both there for the God particle, but then I realized maybe he is, but she's really there for him because he's kind of her mission now. Because isn't that like the alternate Claudia kind of set her on that path, I guess.
Right.
Even though she's not like the super old Claudia yet, she's still there to guide him. Although I think, as most characters do, she once again is lying about her intent to him. Because I don't think she's going to help him save Martha at all. And pretty much I have big doubts about everything she kind of says, but whatever. By the way, especially her getting around, you know, the power plant and the area, whatever. Isn't that like military crawling all around, you know, this place? How does no one find her and know that she's around? Is she like ninja training, or are they only staying on the perimeter and they're not in within? And she's like right in the middle of it. So that's why they don't know she's even there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they definitely, everybody seems to have their way with the place. I don't know. Okay. I suppose maybe if it's in a, it's a sealed area, they wouldn't be patrolling, so, or they wouldn't be patrolling within the fenced area, so I guess you just got to find one place. You know, and in a world where resources are screwed, you know, they probably don't have a zillion people, guarding this fucking shithole.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, again, it's one of those, the thought occurred to me, I wrote it down. One more thing before we head back to Crazy Town. We do see that lovable unknown trio, you know, our third, fourth, and fifth favorite character on the series is here. You know, the kid and the old man depart via, like, that dark matter bubble express, but the middle one, the murdering one, he's got one of those handheld time machine gizmos. And, of course, we know we'll be seeing them in a montage later on. All right, so let's get to the piece de resistance of this episode, the big, you know, final act where everything starts to go a little crazy. First, we get that the formerly unknown girl who, you know, she lets Martha out of the cage. Again, her name is like Celia, whatever.
Yeah, it's like Celia.
Yeah,
it's just the name
Celia?
Pronounced.
Celia, like, thank you.
Yeah.
That's the other thing here for pronunciation. she is like a seriously unpleasant character now compared to before.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and she was never super great in the first place. I mean, I guess maybe she wants, like, you know, bang Jonas or something, but other than that, she was always pretty unpleasant. Yeah.
Well, then, you know, she makes Martha undress. She's always threatening her with the gun the whole time. But also, I keep thinking she has some awareness of the overall plan that Adam and Martha and what their roles are. What I'm trying to say, like, she knows Martha cannot die, so I feel like holding the gun on her is a bit of a meaningless threat, but, you know, or Martha should have realized that, like, you know, you can't really actually shoot me, so I don't know why you're pointing that gun at me. Anyway, I don't care. It's a silly thing to mention, but I couldn't resist.
No, it does make sense, though.
Meanwhile...
But that would remove a lot of dramatic tension if the characters, like, were smart enough to realize, just
exactly,
like, okay, you're
yes.
not going
to... You always need to have dramatic tension and conflict in every scene. Writing 101. Meanwhile, we do see the older Magnus and Francesca are also there in the present future here with Adam, and apparently they have a mission. And then we kind of quickly bounce to that same couple, only considerably younger in the alternate universe, but there's really nothing important about that at all. So this is where things start to escalate. You know, we see Bartosz and Martha biking to the plant in order to stop his dad, but en route, bing! We get to find out what older Magnus and Francesca's mission is. It's to put this slightly earlier version of Martha on her path to be the traveler Martha by taking her with them. Basically,
and
go on.
Oh, I was just going to say that the setup for this stuff is like the apocalypse gets closer. I found it to be surprisingly effective because I kind of got some chills down my spine, like actual chills, as like it started to get closer. Even though we've already seen like an apocalypse happen last season,
yes.
I think the setup was quite effective for us seeing like for just being the second version of something we've already seen.
Oh,
I was feeling it
because you had what made it work so well. There were beyond the obvious, you know, everything's about to, you know, an apocalypse is about to happen, everything's going to be destroyed. In addition to that, there seemed to be different stakes going on here. And we were also getting like multiple reveals throughout these final minutes. At least I'm going to say one or two of which we might not have completely seen coming, which is kind of fun. And it's hinted at just before we switch to it, when they leave Bartosz on the road there, you know, he's used to being left out, you know. But they say them along the lines of the others will come for him. And we're going to find out about those others. Because what I'm going to say is one of the cooler reveals, if not just the episode, maybe even the season so far, we see Eva with, I'm going to call them her troops. The ones we know, you know, first is the freshly scarred traveler Martha. By the way, there's a little confusion here when she's talking to that Martha, because Eve kind of says Adam still doesn't know about the origin, i.e. the baby. But we saw in the previous episode, he knows. In fact, if you only knew what's going on right now in the universe, he most certainly knows. But anyway, that's okay. They're not all knowing, you know.
Right.
Then we have the older Martha, who really doesn't get nearly as much screen time as older Martha Jonas has on this show, I've noticed. And then we get older Bartosz, which I know you were waiting for. Sorry.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
we sort of expected it. You mentioned we were waiting to see the older Bartosz. And again, that was what confirmed. Oh, that's what Magnus and Francesca were talking about. You know, when he said he's not one of us, blah, blah, blah. And then we see Claudia, which we already kind of knew from the previous episode. But did anyone expect to see old man Egon as one of her minions?
No, I kind of want to go back and see, like, you know, what kind of interactions. If you know, I guess maybe we did. We ever see Egon in this reality? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think we have.
No,
because we haven't.
Because that would have had to have been in the 80s. Yeah,
right. And we haven't been in the 80s in the alternate universe as far as I can recall.
Yeah,
but
so
that was, to me, I went, wait, what?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. It's like kind of, oh yeah, once the old man Egon started to figure, like, wasn't dumb and like was able to figure out some stuff, I was just like, you know, like the character more. Yeah. Plus, let's be honest, like young him being mean to like 80s Ulrich is totally fine because Ulrich is like an asshole on like all ages, so it's okay to not like jerk punk teenager Ulrich.
Did you notice how much like Magnus in this universe, present day Magnus in this universe, is like 80s Ulrich?
Oh yeah,
they're like carbon copies of each other, I thought. Except 80s Ulrich couldn't have gotten away with the tattoos. And we also get both versions of Noah. Both Noahs are there.
Yeah, to both of them. That's kind of cool.
That was a little bit surprising to me. I expected the older one. I didn't expect the younger one. So that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
So,
but again, I guess it makes sense because if there's an Eve in this one and an Adam in the other one, then, you know, I guess Noah needs somebody to follow in both realities.
Yes, and I'm going to start putting down the odds of us getting at least one more weird major biblical character name before the show is over. I say we do. So
yeah, maybe Lot's wife will show up.
I was thinking that, I mean, and maybe that sand is actually salt.
That could be very true. You know, yeah.
Germans love their salt.
I'm
sorry. They love us salt. Anyway, so.
They're Blitzkrieg, yeah.
I don't think our podcast gets played in Germany, so it's fun. So it looks like both Adam and Eve are dispatching their minions on several missions, and none of these missions seem to be about stopping the apocalypse. I found interesting. In fact, yeah. Adam is basically saying that he needs both apocalypses to happen in order to abort the baby in Martha's womb. That was my, oh boy, Germans kind of thing. It's like,
yeah.
So that's what this comes down to. Okay.
One thing that I'm wondering if Egon's mission was to like preserve his bloodline, I think is what she told him. And then he goes and like, he's the one that shows up when like Hannah starts like having like bloody pregnancy. Could you understand how exactly that would relate to Egon's bloodline? I mean, he got her pregnant in like the original reality in the past, but you know, her being pregnant in this one doesn't seem like it'd be a Tiedemann thing, unless like fucking Mira Bartosz fucked her. I don't know.
I was kind of wondering about it because
it was definitely. It's very specific, so definitely, like, I don't know how it adds up yet.
Yeah, I got to think about that one, or maybe we'll see more on it in the next episode. Because I was also thinking, if she's already got the big bloody thing puddle happening on herself, I was like writing, she looks like she's miscarrying at this point when he gets.
Yeah, like, that doesn't seem like water breaking.
Yeah, this isn't a good sign.
No.
This isn't going to be a very special episode. Oh. or actually, maybe it might be. So, of course, I did wonder with the whole. So let me get this straight. He can't just kill Martha to get rid of the baby. He has to make sure that, you know, both universes are destroyed in order to kill the baby.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I'll go along with it, but you know, it starts having like a. It's like, wait, did Bane come up with your plan? I'm just like.
It might be something where, like, a future version of Martha has to, like, do something for, like, him to get to this point, but I guess I'm not sure, like, what that would be, because I don't think it really is needed at this, whatever, since, like, what's going on with these Marthas isn't reflected in the past memories of middle-aged Jonas, who becomes Adam.
Right.
So I guess I'm not sure that why you can't just, like, grab Celia's gun and shoot her in the fucking stomach.
Yeah, I mean, it seems... This is the one that's pregnant. Kill her right then and there. Boom. It's done.
Plus, he already shot the original Martha in the stomach.
He's got so practice.
It would be nice, and it would kind of parallel again.
But by the way, when you add speaking of all this, when you add all this up, considering how many times Adam has either essentially tortured or killed Martha on the show, he is the worst ex boyfriend outside of O.J. Simpson. I'm gonna say. All right. If he's successful, and kind of looks like he was by the end of this episode, it's another case of a really bad parent. Although I know unborn child, but still bad parent. Because, technically that would have been his kid. So there you go.
Yes.
Then we get whatever the song is playing, and we see the various missions being undertaken. Like, the trio appears to go to the nuclear power plant in both universes. The older Martha shows up in the 1880s, as we said, dropping off that letter. Older Bartosz is there to save his younger self. We initially see Egon outside the cavern entrance. I guess that is just showing how we got there. And then we later see him showing up with Hannah, as we talked about already. And then what I can only surmise is older Noah playing matchmaker by bringing the not hearing impaired version of Elizabeth to the bunker to survive the apocalypse with a young Noah, and therefore they'll eventually hook up and Charlotte will be born and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. All of a sudden everything gets obliterated. First Martha appears to get torn apart, then everything. We just get this really abrupt, what the fuck ending, world over, episode over, Yankees win. It was just kind of a, and again, like, and now I couldn't watch the next episode, which bothered me.
How's that? I mean, are you enjoying it somewhat, or is it bothering you more? I'm kind of enjoying, like, having to have the restraint and having a little time to think about it, but it's kind of just like, oh, I can't watch the next one. We're retraining ourselves a little bit over this.
It's kind of a combination of enjoyment and frustration. So there's something almost weirdly kinky about it, I guess. because it's my instinct is to watch the next episode. I mean, God, it starts to come on. Like I said before, I keep seeing like the first 5 or 7 seconds of the next episode, which invariably is like trees or something. So it always seems to be trees. And then I have to like, no, don't. Because as much as even though it totally occurs to me, like, I could just watch it to the notes now and just start. But I know me, and I know it'll taint the podcast. I want to be honest for our podcast.
Yeah. Even though it would be funny if, like, he watched it ahead and then just made, like, really good fucking predictions.
That's the reason.
It'd be funny.
That's kind of the reason I don't want to do it, because I'm almost shy about making predictions, because I'm worried if we say something which we're dead on, so we're like, yeah, like, you didn't just watch the next episode. So I'm actually enjoying we're getting stuff wrong than right, as far as that's concerned. But, fortunately for me, I do have other things I need to be watching or want to be watching.
Yeah. It's just a lot of stuff.
So, I finish one of those, then I kind of go in my bedroom and I put on HBO Max and I watch another episode of Doom Patrol or something. So I still have a bunch of those to get through. But, yeah, it's been a whirlwind of activity on the show, as we expected. And now we've just got two left. Just two left.
Two episodes left.
And we are going to try to get them both recorded this week before you depart.
Yeah, I should be able to do one late afternoon, early evening tomorrow. So we'll be able to keep progressing.
Right. And, just so the folks out there know, we're probably going to try to knock off record the next two. We have to record the next two within the next couple of days. That's for sure. As far as when I release them, because we're going to be releasing the Perry Mason one that I'm going to record later tonight with Brian. I don't know if I'm going to release that tonight or tomorrow morning. It really depends on when we're completed with it and when we get the post-production work done on it. It's more likely in the morning, because I don't like putting putting out an episode on Facebook or whatever, like after midnight.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I might upload it after midnight, but I don't make it official until the next day. Anyway. I forgot what my point is. I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah. So the name of the episode we're about to watch next is called Between the Time,
Between
the Time. Yes, no. Which is a less poetic name than the rest of the season. So, but that's what it's called, Between the Time.
Okay.
Yeah. It definitely, you know, piques my interest a little bit as to what's going to happen there, because that's a little ambiguous, I suppose.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because most shows, as we've mentioned a million times when we talk about any number of other shows we watch, penultimate episodes often tend to be stronger than the final episodes. Now, this is the final episode of a season, so maybe that won't be the case here, but usually it's more the penultimate episode. I'll give you, in fact, some shows are so aware of it. I'm just going to do one more little promo for that other show I'm watching. I told you I'm watching Doom Patrol. It's a 15 episode season, right. Season one from 2019. I just finished the 13th episode, which was freaking great. The conceit of this season, like every episode it's the last word is patrol. So it could be, the title could be Jane Patrol, Paw Patrol, or Francis Patrol, whatever. I noticed the name of the next episode is Penultimate Patrol. So it's an incredibly, if and when you ever get a chance to see it, you'll love the villain character. There's never been a more meta character in the history of TV than this guy. He actually, at the end of an episode, he comes back as a narrator. We hadn't heard him like the entire episode. It's like, oh, now we got the final, and then and all of a sudden another scene. It's like, wait, there's another scene of this? We have to sit through, oh my God. Then we go back to the episode. I'm like, I love this show. It's Alan Tudyk. He's like Mr. Fun.
Oh, nice.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
It might.
Yeah, star of the remake of the ABC remake of V.
Oh God, was he on V?
That nobody watched.
I know.
He was one of the visitors. I
didn't finish watching. Yeah. It. I watched it up to a point. Yeah. And then I think I just got tired of it.
He was like,
oh my God, yeah. Sorry, he was on same, that. Same. Wow. I love that most anyone would just go right to Firefly, or there's a few other, you know, super, you know, geeky sweet spot things with Alan Tudyk. And, well, I guess V would count as one of those two, actually. So, yeah, just not the one I would have thought.
I suppose.
He's just known for
being,
he's like a convention sweetheart kind of a guy, you know, and he's done a lot of things relating to DC before, as far as like cartoon voices and things of that nature. But he gets to be the villain on this show called, and his name is Mr. Nobody. And
so nice.
He is now. I mean, I got one more episode to watch right now. But I'm saying right now, he might be my favorite villain I've seen on any superhero TV series. I mean, I might just say sorry, David Tennant, but I think I like Mr. Nobody better. He's certainly funnier. All right, so we will be back.
I'll tell you just a brief thing quick, but while I was thinking about recording today, for some reason this crossed my head, so I'm just going to tell you this story about me being dumb, even though I've probably already told you once. But the time that I visited you in New York City, where you live, when I got off the airplane, I had to take a taxi to your house, and when I got in the car, the driver asked where I was going, or where I wanted him to take me, and I just said, Brooklyn. I'm going to Brooklyn. So that he had to explain to me, like, okay, like, Brooklyn's a big place. Like, you know, you need to tell me where you're going, like, exactly. So, but that just, like, thought I'd tell you this funny story about fish out of water, me showing up in the... That was going to be very fucking specific, which it wasn't. So there's a story of me being clueless that I just randomly put in the end of this podcast.
Okay. I'm trying to imagine getting in a taxi. It's like, take me to Brooklyn. It's like, unless you're like Yakov Smirnoff in the 80s, take me to Brooklyn. Like, you remind me of when I would run into people and when I was working in Manhattan, and there were people who were clearly not from New York, but had moved here at some point recent, you know, within the last few years, but maybe they were living in Manhattan or or something, and they would say about, oh, I took a train to Brooklyn once, and I just looked at them and was like, dude, it's not like you're going up, it's not like going to Poughkeepsie or something. Brooklyn's part of the city. It's a minute away. It's on the, it's, you, I can point out the window. It's right there. Idiots. Just,
Yes. So it's not dark specific, but I just figured you'd like this story of this grizzled taxi veteran just really getting like the least specific information imaginable
I
for me,
definitely,
Obi, the big city.
I definitely appreciate it. All right. Well, if you, oh, good. I forgot the ending stuff. God damn it, past an hour. Okay. So if you enjoyed the podcast, you would enjoy hanging out on our podcast page as well. The page is Serious TV Drama Podcast. Like the page and join the conversation about shows like Dark and so many others. You can follow us on our own webpage site, whatever the heck you call it, stvdpodcast.podbean.com. I'm mentioning that nowadays because that's where you can find all 250, whatever number we're up to now. When you hear this podcast, it'll be 259 episodes at that point. You can, if you can access iTunes, find us there too. Serious TV Drama Podcast, subscribe to our feed, and you can rate and review us there. And you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at stvdpodcast, stvd as in Serious TV Drama. So until next time, I'll talk to you later. If not tonight, then tomorrow, Dan, and we'll get back to recording. And good night to all the folks out there.
Good night, listeners.